The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. Yes, it is.
Hey there, Inside Florida Racing. I'm out of practice, Jack. I'm CC Brooks, back after a long hiatus on Inside Florida Racing. Lovely. Now, we used to be, I think it was the 8th floor of the Karnak Tower, and I think we're up to what? Are we up on the 10th floor now, Jack?
The 12th, but I know you've been away for a while, but you got to watch those big words. I mean, your first sentence, you throw out this big word, hiatus. Are you going on a sabbatical next? I mean,
can I, please? And my life needs it. Glad to be back. Glad to be back with you and all our loyal listeners out there. And very glad to be getting back to some racing.
Yeah. And you did that this week.
I did, yes. I actually was at the Punta Gorda Speedway Saturday night. They had the big super late model race. So I went down there to see a bunch of old friends and to catch some racing. And I'm glad I did because they had some great racing action at the Punta Gorda Speedway.
Yeah.
And the place was packed.
Was it really?
Packed. Up on the hill, the stands, the place was just filled to the gills with the race fans.
You know, and I think them being off for a few weeks, they've been – had they done some – I know they were closed for 2 or 3 weeks.
Yes, they closed to do some renovations, mm-hmm. You know, and it's just easier to – to close down and do the work. Yeah. And, you know, the, their kitchen for their food, nice, new, clean paint, appliances, everything redone. The bathrooms look good. They worked on the tech shed. They made the pits. They did some improvements in the pit areas for the drivers to make it better for them. And the track is just, you know, just get growing and getting nicer looking for the fans and a better place for drivers and fans as every week that goes by. And my hat's off to Kevin and his staff out there.
Well, as the people that work for Kevin all know, some of them all too well, he is meticulous about how he wants things, that's for sure. And you know, with the new road they're building through there, I haven't been down there in about a month, but when that road is done, I think that's going to help that place too. A lot of people may not don't like that, but I think it's going to work good. It's going to have a lot more traffic on it.
I think so. I think you're right. I think it's going to bring some people by that haven't seen it before.
Sure.
They don't realize it's going to make it more convenient. Yes, right now, it's a little bit of a hassle to find your parking place because of it. But, you know, Kevin's got people out in the parking lot to direct you so you can safely get to a place to park your car. And it's not bad at all. It's a great night of racing. And, heck, it's the best $10 you're going to pay.
Before we get too far along here, if you want to contact us during the show or after the show, Karnak@comcast.net, email Karnak@comcast.net. You can text us at 941-228-8359. Of course, Twitter. We're all over Twitter. We're sort of all over Twitter.
Which one of us is monitoring the Twitter page? Because I don't have that pulled up over
here
yet.
I will. As
okay.
soon as I get my...
new Twitter.
I'll check it on my iPhone.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, I have an iPhone now, right? I got one a few...
You are just so much fancier than I am.
I just love that. If I would have known all the stuff I use that iPhone for, mm-hmm. I would have got it years ago.
Oh, my son loves his.
Yeah. I mean,
they're addicting.
It's a really good tool. And at the end of the show, and we'll repeat this at the end of the, later on, but at the end of the show, we're going to give you a number where you can call in and register your comments. And if they're exquisite enough, I'll throw out one of those words, if they're cool enough comments, we will play them on the air next week where you can comment on this show or anything about Inside Florida Racing.
Hey, I just want to say hi to the whole Ellis clan, the Ellis family, a racing family here in our area. And I know they're listening to Inside Florida Racing tonight, so hello to all of them. We had a great time seeing them and visiting with them at the Punta Gorda Speedway Saturday night. And just want to pass on a message from Bonehead. I spoke to Bonehead earlier this evening. And he's not racing right now, but he did want me to let everybody know that he is around, and he says hi.
And he loves you.
And he loves you. I miss Bonehead.
Yes, me too. He's a good guy. Now, you mentioned the Ellis family.
Yes.
And Phil and his wife.
Kathy? I think I got that right.
Well,
I spend more time. I'm bad about this. I spend more time talking to the guys than the women.
Yeah, we know how that works.
but Philip and his father, Philip.
Now he's going to be on our show next week.
I know.
Yes, he's going to actually be in the studio here with us. And Phil started a little. He's gotten going on the a talk.
He has podcast started. He has started a Sunday night at 11 o'clock Punta Gorda Speedway race talk show. And you can check that out. And
we'll put a link on Real Racing USA for it. And
it's covering just that track, Punta Gorda Speedway, and the things that happen there.
Yeah, and hopefully it's not that hard to do using some of the technology that's out there now, like Blog Talk Radio and other things similar to that. CeCe, you're in the radio business.
Yep.
You've been in it forever. People make a lot of big deal about, like, having a show on FM radio or on AM radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people may not realize it if they've ever not done it. Let me tell you, it can be a very expensive proposition.
Yes,
and you can spend a lot of your time chasing your tail, in other words, chasing the money to keep it on the air. And there are so many alternatives. And the way people listen to radio and watch TV today,
mm-hmm.
It's on demand. It's all about having it available so people can listen to it when they want to. So you don't have to have all that big a deal. You can have just as many listeners listening to a podcast as you can on an AM or FM station.
That's very true. Yeah. You know, and you know, you get your podcast up there on iTunes for people to access, and you know, everybody from around the world can listen to you. So, you know, if you've always, hey, what can I say? If you've always wanted to be in radio, start up your own little station on the internet.
Yeah, and if you need any help doing that, you call me up anytime. And
oh,
I'll,
you're the pro. You've been through everything.
We've done every.
You know all the pitfalls.
We've done it every way there is to do it, and including AM radio. So, I have my tickets. Check this out, Cece.
Where are you going?
That is my tickets to the Hialeah Speedway reunion.
The reunion, cool.
And if you don't have yours yet, you need to get one. It's going to be a cool event. It's going to be an awesome night and a great time. Before that event comes, what's the date on there? November?
Saturday, November 27th.
Yeah, and before that event comes, we're going to have several guests. We're going to have some people that are just going to surprise you that we're going to bring from who used to race long ago at Hialeah Speedway, who will be at this reunion. But I got my tickets the other day.
You're going to have so much fun.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
Wow, look at all the drivers they memorialize on the back of the ticket.
Yeah, that place was open for over 50 years.
1954 it opened.
Yeah. So
a lot of drivers.
Yeah, quite a place down there. And I got those. And also,
yes,
2 years ago, we gave away a Driver of the Year ring worth about, I don't know, $3,000 or something like that. Johnny Freight Train.
Johnny.
The Collins.
Yeah.
Right? He won it the first year. A dirt late model racer.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, another dirt driver won the ring again.
Yeah.
I don't know what's with the asphalt guys, man. We need.
Well, I think what we've talked about in the past, Jack, is the reason why these dirt guys seem to come out on top is because they seem to be racing more frequently. They're doing more races, which means they're getting more wins under their belt, which is something, you know, that we're looking for. It seems to be harder or more of a challenge for some of the asphalt guys to be able to do multiple races at multiple tracks during the week.
Yeah, well, there's partly because last year, Jeff Matthews, he raced a lot at mm-hmm. Ocala. He raced a lot at Volusia, a lot at East Bay, and like North Florida and other places. But Jeff won everything there was. I mean, he was just on top of his game last year. Yeah. He won the ring. So this year, we just confirmed, of course, this year's been a little funky to say the least with my health issues and other things going on in the world.
So for the 2010 racing season, we're now starting this in October.
Yes. And so obviously we're going to have to do things a little differently.
Yeah.
And what we're going to do.
It's the bat phone ringing there. So this is going to be a little different this year. But once again, of course, we will have a beautiful ring to present to our driver, but we will have to make some changes. We'll have to adapt the way we do this and rank the drivers because we're coming in late.
Yeah, and what we'd like to have more fan participation.
That would be great
involved.
Because it gets very, I don't think they realize how hard it is when it's left to us.
Well, and we're not going to be doing this monthly thing like we did last year and year before just because of the lateness of the hour. But we would really like people to send us emails, karnak@comcast.net. Go on the message board, Karnak Real Racing USA message board, and you know, make a case for your driver. I mean, and really make the case for it. I mean, obviously, if you just throw out a name without any reason,
yeah, we need
for
some
it,
stats.
Yeah, you need to make a case for your guy and or gal. And
I would love to have a woman driver win. I would love, or at least have some nominated.
Yeah, that would be good. And but you know, too.
Of course, the rings that we always get are very masculine. So,
well,
but
they kind of are.
They are. But
Kevin Hildebrand and Hildebrand Jewelers can do whatever we want to do, and he's on top of it again. Kevin also part of the reason we're announcing this, getting this started late in the game too, is because Kevin had some very serious health issues. Kevin Hildebrand, Hildebrand Jewelers, who works with us on this, He had some very serious health issues, and he called me the other day, and he's ready to get things rocking and rolling. But about women, you know, what I want to see is I want to see some owner start a women's only racing series. And, you know, like them Fab Fours. Or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So a four-cylinder series.
Four-cylinder series. Put only women in it.
Yeah.
And I think if somebody were to do that, they might just be amazed at the kind of response they get. And I'm convinced that that was the cool thing to do because so many women have told me they really would like to race.
I'm one of them.
But they don't want to race against men.
And I'm right there. I'm with it. I mean, I would love to do it. You know, form the team, you know, and of course I would want somebody to provide me the car too. But, you know, I think that's great. I think that's a great thing. I think we would see a lot of women come out to join that series and race in it. And please, as we look for our driver of the year, please, I know they're out there across the state of Florida, Jack, some fantastic women race car drivers, and please, we want to know about them. Get a hold of us, argue their case, and we will put them into the running. I would love it. I'd love to present the ring.
Around the state this week.
Yes.
Man, David Steele, he won, if my information is correct here, he won two sprint car features this week. One 14-car field at Orlando Speed World on Friday night. And a 23-car field at New Smyrna Speedway on Saturday night.
Mm. Well, no surprise there. He's an extremely gifted driver.
Yeah, he came in last time we were on the air. He'd come in second the week at I think it was at DeSoto. But he won two features over at
congratulations,
the other coast
David.
There. In other racing at New Smyrna Speedway, my goodness, they had 7 E-modified, 6 Sportsman, 12 super stocks, and 8 strictly stocks. So thank goodness the TBARA Sprint showed up with 23 sprint cars and made it a show.
What a nice field of sprints.
Yeah, that is good. East Bay Raceway Park had 17 modifieds. John Bradley won that one. They had 15 late models. Maverick Varnador won his first feature win. Good for him. The Maverick. They had 17 Outlaw 4s. Matthew Haynes won that one. And then they had 15 street stocks. Thomas Pratt won that. They only had 12 limited late models. Auburndale Speedway had 12 modifieds. Wayne Jefferson won that.
Congratulations, Wayne.
Yeah. They had 10 modified many stocks, 13 street stocks, 6 V8 bombers, and 9 scramblers. Back on dirt, Volusia Speedway Park had 19 sportsmen. Stanton Mills won that race. They had 17 Thunderstocks. Chad Scranton won that. 13 late models, 13 four-cylinder challenge cars, 9 modifieds, and 9 street stocks. My goodness. Another good field of cars at, Ponte Gorda Speedway had 21 cars in the late models.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it was a nice group.
Yeah, Travis Hansen from Cooper City won that. And
that was a great race.
Was it?
It really was.
Did there some passing going on?
There was, but Travis just basically owned that race from go.
He just had it.
He
huh?
just had it, yeah.
Yeah. They had 15 Pro 4s. Ryan Culver won that.
Yeah.
They had 11 Fab 4s.
What? Am I allowed to comment?
No, yeah. Absolutely.
It was the Fab Fours in the heat races where the where there was a wreck, and involving your guest next week, Phil Ellis, and it was a shame because there's no reason in a heat race for people to be overly aggressive, and Phil wasn't. And there's no reason, really, in any of these races, and it happened a couple of times Saturday night for drivers. And once again, I'm not talking about Phil, but to get out of their cars and start threatening other drivers. Things happen. It's racing. You rub, you bump, you spin out. Things happen. And so the Fab Fours were pretty heated Saturday night.
So CC has a vote there against aggressiveness.
Well, there's you know, you don't need to get aggressive towards the drivers. You don't need to get out of the cars and go after each other.
It's humorous.
It's not a good example for the kids who are watching you race.
They had 8 legends, 9 super stocks, 11 Road Warriors
mm-hmm.
and 4 Bandoleros. And now, Columbia Motorsports Park, their stock is still not rising. Sportsman had 9 cars, Hobby Stocks 4, 5 Hornets, 6 Pure Stocks, 6 E-Modifieds, 4 V8 Bombers. Ocala Speedway, 21 yeah. late models. Ivan and Lloyd won the race.
Way to go.
17 Thunder Stocks. Tim Matthew, I believe that's how you pronounce that, won that one, and 17 of those cars. 12 Mini Stocks and 16 Gladiators. Stephen Johnson took the Gladiator feature.
They're having a good car count up there.
You know what I like about that is that it's a different kind of name. I've always thought, you know, it's like, what's a street stock? That means something to people in the racers in the pits.
Yeah, but not to the fans.
That doesn't communicate anything. Gladiators, at least you could put something to it.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a nice visual.
Yeah, exactly. up at Citrus County, you know, they had 15 super late models. Scott Grossenbacher won the race. 11 street stocks, 21 pure stocks. David Walls took the feature.
Nice.
9 TQ midgets, 10 mini cups, and 10 of the street stocks and pure stock drivers got together and raced figure eights. Robert Ray came out of the woods up there to win that race. Robert Ray's around a figure eight track. He's going to win the race more than likely. And but that gives you an idea of the overview of. I'll tell you, the dirt tracks still are the most consistent at having
good car counts,
good fields of cars in particular races. But you'll notice they don't have as many classes again, too.
That's true.
You know, makes for better racing when you have more cars, and it makes it a lot more fun.
Oh yeah, the fans enjoy that. They like to see the competition out on the track when you have a good field of cars.
Tonight,
and hopefully, mm-hmm. as more people get back to work, as the economy picks up a little bit, more people get back to work, more people will be able to afford to break out their race cars and start racing again.
Hopefully. We hear some rumblings that things are moving a little bit more in a positive direction.
They tell me it's getting better, Jack.
Yeah, that's what
I keep waiting to see it in my own personal life.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But tonight we're going to be talking with Dalton Baldwin, who we hear is turning some heads at DeSoto Speedway in the modifieds. And we're going to talk to Wayne Anderson about the Fast Series, the Florida All-Star Tour mm-hmm. late model series that he's been working with and racing in all year long.
And they'll be up at the DeSoto Super Speedway this Saturday night?
Yep. For their last, I believe it's their last race of the year. We're going to talk to Wayne about that and some other things. And later on, we're going to have some comments about the owners get together yesterday. And
wouldn't you like to have been a fly on the wall there?
I'm not sure. Somebody might have had a fly swatter if they knew I was a fly on that wall. I just have a feeling. We'll be right back. Bad things do happen to good people. It's a sad fact of life. Sometimes you just have to have an attorney to represent you or your family. I recommend attorney Timothy M. Grogan. Timothy Grogan is a Florida-based lawyer with offices in St. Petersburg, Venice, and Bradenton. Attorney Timothy Grogan's firm provides the skill and knowledge you deserve with legal representation in the areas of criminal defense, bankruptcy law, foreclosure protection, real estate law, and family law. www.timothygrogan.com for the office nearest you. Remember, bad things do happen to good people. When you need an attorney, I recommend Timothy Grogan. www.timothygrogan.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
The future of medicine is happening now. Utopia Wellness in Clearwater, Florida is a leading-edge medical center that offers integrative, holistic, patient-focused medical treatments. Utopia offers a full menu of wellness programs that complement each other by addressing all the issues related to well-being. Programs at Utopia Wellness are designed for anyone who wants to enjoy optimal health. Whether you're suffering from a chronic illness or simply wanting to prevent disease, Utopia has a personalized program that is right for you, including alternative cancer therapies, chronic degenerative illnesses, heart and vascular disease, immune system enhancement, detoxification and colon therapy, and medical weight loss. I invite you to call 727-799-9060 or visit utopiaawaits.com. That number again is 727-799-9060. My name is Jack Smith, and I highly recommend Utopia Wellness. And a first caller that sends us the name of whoever sings that song wins two full expense paid tickets to the World Series. I'm totally BSing you.
Wow, that came out of left field. Okay, Jack, I have to make some corrections because
apologies coming
because I have been spanked on Facebook. Okay, so Philip doesn't do Fab Fours. Philip Ellis races in the Pro Fours, and his wife, his lovely wife's name is Michelle. Kathy is his mom, and Kathy was on my brain because your wife's name is Kathy, and we were talking about her before we went on air. So I'm sorry, guys, and thank you for correcting me. And hello to Chris, who's also on Facebook and is listening.
All right, good. And with us, hopefully here,
is
Dalton Baldwin, modified race car driver primarily these days at DeSoto Speedway. Dalton, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right, good, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
All right, we're doing good, and hopefully after you're done with us, you're going to be feeling great.
Hopefully.
Yeah, so what I hear, I've gotten a lot of input from people who says you're turning some heads up at DeSoto Speedway.
I guess I am. I mean, I'm just going out there and doing what I love to do and what comes natural to me. But, you know, my dad put me in the modified this year. And we've just been running really, really well with it. A lot better than we had expected, but, you know, a lot of my success has to go to my dad, and a lot of it has to go to family. And,
sure.
You know, I've just been watching this all my life and always wanted to race cars, and I guess I'm pretty good at it.
Well, tell us a little bit about your dad and your background, how you got in the car in the first place.
Well, my dad had got with DJ Hosel back in like 03, I think it was, and they built the car, and we raced at Sunshine in 2004, Sunshine's last year. Went to DeSoto in 2005 and 2006, won the championship both those years. 07, we were on our way to possibly win a third championship, but we blew the motor, missed about half the season. Came back at the end of that season, won a few races, then went to, then we went to Auburndale in 08, and he finished second in the points, went back to DeSoto in 09, and he didn't really race. Primarily, it was just me and the Flying Fours.
Mm-hmm.
And, he just, you know, raced, whenever they raced, because, I mean, there's only like 10 races on the schedule. And then this year, he had won the championship last year, and so this year he's like, hey, there ain't going to be no use in winning a fourth championship, so he decided to put me in it.
And I was wondering, you know, how was the transition for you, and are you enjoying racing modifieds more?
I'm really enjoying racing modifieds. I mean, I love to race the four-cylinders because they're a lot of fun to drive. But, I mean, a modified's about six times the horsepower, and it's more of a real race car, so it's naturally going to be more fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, the transition, really, it wasn't that difficult. It was just learning the modified was the difficult part.
Yeah.
You know, learning how far I could drive it down in there, when I need to get back on the gas, how much gas is too much. You know, just learning all the key aspects to driving a modified, which it's very difficult to learn in any car, and a modified is one of the toughest things to race in short track racing.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. You can go.
I would say, what have you noticed in the difference in class size when you're racing, in the action on the track, the difference between the two classes?
Well, the four cylinders, it's more of a momentum kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just lose your momentum, you're going to get passed by like three cars real quick.
But, yeah.
And in the four cylinders, they're so small that you can run three, four wide sometimes, you know, especially at DeSoto, where it's a big, wide, you know, high bank racetrack. And, you know, it's a lot more aggressive and just kind of going all out in the flying fours, where in the modifieds, it's more kind of keeping your cool, you know, making sure you don't lose what you have. You know, if you're running second, make sure you stay there. You know, don't wreck the car trying to catch the leader, which I have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being patient and a little bit more racing. You know, because you can't really go three wides for that long in a modified soda.
not healthy.
No.
Yeah, it's not healthy. Dalton, you said earlier you talked about this just coming naturally to you. Is that true with the modifieds? And when did you start like feeling that way?
I started really feeling it kind of just come along, and kind of everything just clicked. Like about, I think it was the July race in mid July. I something happened in the heat race. I didn't run really good, and then I don't know, something when I went out for the feature just clicked. And I went up there and finished second, and it happened in the four cylinders when I raced them at Auburndale in 2008. It was like the first two races I kind of did okay and everything. Then the third race, something just clicked, and I won the double features that night. And so I mean, I don't know how to explain it. It just, you know, it just happens to click, and everything just seems to make sense to me.
Yeah. How old are you now?
16.
16?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is your dad on the radio with you during the races?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So when you're like out on the track during the races and you know, he's spotting for you and talking to you on the radio, how much help does he give you on the radio? How much talking goes on there?
I don't talk that much, but he's pretty good. He keeps me calm and makes sure that, you know, I don't, you know, overdrive the car. I don't, you know, get too ahead of myself. You know, like if I just pass the car, he's like, all right, you know, calm down, get back in a rhythm, you know, and go get the next car. You know, he just does what naturally a spotter would do, like in NASCAR's divisions. And, you know, he gets pretty excited on the radio sometimes, but... You know, I can't blame him.
Yeah. Well, when you, for one of these days, you find yourself talking to your 16-year-old son, I'm sure you'll know exactly what that's all about.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you're racing these modifieds, of course, you don't have any fenders there. And, I mean, is that a bit of a challenge? Like, is it a feeling thing where you know how close to get? How do you deal with that?
It really is kind of a feeling thing and a judgment call. You know, you kind of just, if like, let's say you're on the outside of a guy, you kind of just get down enough to where you just feel him nudge you, and then you kind of stay there and hold that line.
Yeah.
You know, if you're right behind a guy, it's kind of just a judgment and a feel of how far your bumper, your wheels are sticking out there to his rear bumper. And, I mean, it's just a feel and, you know, and a judgment call.
Yeah. Are you in competition for, I may have missed something because I was out of the studio for a few minutes, but are you in competition for the championship or rookie of the year or anything like that?
We We are in the place to win Rookie of the Year, and we are 24. We're in third in points, and we're 24 points out of second, with three races left, and we're like 62 points out of the championship.
Yeah. Who are some of the toughest guys that you've had to race against yet?
Ralph Bowman's been pretty tough, and Eric Rudd's been pretty tough. They've been the two that we've been racing mainly the whole season.
Right.
Wayne Jefferson, he showed up, and Sean McLaughlin, I haven't really gotten a chance to be side by side with them on the track.
Yeah.
Me, Eric Rudd, and Ralph Bowman, we've gotten into it a few times. Pat Nanny was someone who was really tough too.
Sure.
And really the modified drivers, they're all tough. I mean, they don't give you an inch. You gotta go out there and get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's part of the job description.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. So are you you're having fun?
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun out there.
All right. That's what's important, man. And so what do you plan? What's your plan for next year? You're going to race at DeSoto? Are you going to travel around a little more? Or what's the plan?
Right now, we'll probably race mainly at DeSoto, and we'll travel around and go to a couple different racetracks. We'd really like to go to Speed Week in New Smyrna, or at least go to New Smyrna a few times throughout the season.
Sure.
But we'd really need a sponsor for that.
Oh, that's definitely a track you want to race on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one fast half mile. Mm-hmm. I tell you, the modifieds get going. That's for sure. Who builds your cars and your motors and all that sort of stuff?
I believe DJ Hosel built the frame, and it's a Southern style racing engine. I'm pretty sure I built the engine.
Yeah, well, cool. And do you have any sponsors that you're working with now?
Advanced Auto Parts in Dunedin actually just came on and helped us open us out a little bit. George Pill actually built the motor.
Gotcha.
Make that a point. But really, just Advanced Auto Parts, they jumped on. They're helping us out a little bit right now. But we really need some more sponsors. I mean, we're going to race a lot next year. We could really use those.
Yeah.
Well, if there are people out there that might be interested in sponsoring you, do you have a website they can go to for more information to learn more about you?
I don't really have a website. I mean, obviously, you can go to DeSoto and look at their results.
But, sure.
If you find me on Facebook, there's a Facebook page called Dalton Baldwin Racing. It's got we post all my results and race highlights on there every week.
That's perfect, Dalton, and your contact information's there. Facebook, a great use of social networking. Perfect for race car drivers.
Yeah.
All right.
Dalton Baldwin Racing on Facebook.
All right, Dalton. Keep it up, man. Keep it up. I'll tell you, because the people are talking about you. I mean, that's how we heard about it, because people talk.
All right.
All right, man. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, man. I will.
All right.
Bye.
Right. You can catch Dalton Baldwin the rest of this year at DeSoto Super Speedway in Bradenton, Florida, 9 miles east of the interstate.
Yep.
Route 62, out in Gator Country.
Out in the sticks. Okay, so we are 50 minutes into our first show, you and I back together.
Yes, and we're going to call, we're going to be talking to Wayne Anderson here in a few minutes. There was something else that I had going on here, and I just can't seem to. They had an owner's meeting.
Oh, yes, the big dreaded owner's meeting that we'd like to be a fly on the wall, but you're afraid they would swat at you. I don't think they'd swat at me, Jack.
Yeah, probably not. They probably wouldn't swat at me either.
Do you have some notes, some highlights?
I talked to a couple of people that were present at the meeting, and although there's keeping
some
a lot
good
of
gossip, some good
stories. They're keeping a lot of stuff close to their vest, but I've been told that there was a real emphasis on the tracks trying to get together a little bit on common rules and common mm-hmm. tires. And
well, that's something that we've talked on this yeah. show for a long time that would be helpful and make it easier on drivers to be able to race at multiple tracks.
But I tell you something that I think yes. it made me, and somebody said something to me about this, but we won't go into all that. But I think that it's time for a drivers-only meeting.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, I think they all need to get to a bunch of drivers, you know, need to get together and get a little leadership thing going mm-hmm. and have a big place where they can all come and discuss things themselves and maybe, you know, it just might be an interesting concept.
I agree. I think it'd be a really interesting meeting to attend.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd definitely like to attend that meeting.
They obviously have some things in common, you know.
Yeah,
that they could visit upon.
Mm-hmm. A lot of common. I believe that all drivers at all tracks around the state in Florida experience similar problems and share common complaints and concerns.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it would be an interesting thing. I'm actually surprised that it hasn't really. It gets done once in a while where, mm-hmm. like, at the local track, maybe all the street stock drivers will
yeah.
get some bug up their butt, and they'll all get together to try to get something done. But, you know, not to cause trouble for the owners or anything like that. Just the drivers have a lot of issues in common that maybe if they got together on a little bit, they might be able to accomplish something. Next week, we have James Knight is going to be one of our guests. And James is a race car driver from originally mostly from DeSoto Speedway. And he doesn't race much these days at present. But he has one hell of an interesting story to tell. And I've known James for a long time. And this story is just fascinating. And it really, James Knight's story shows just an incredible amount of determination. And I think will be an inspiration to people who want to win a track championship who maybe haven't done that ever. And he showed just an extraordinary amount of perseverance. And his story is just fascinating. And I'm not going to say any more about it than that. But he's going to be on next week, and I look forward
to
that.
So an inspirational story for the drivers out there, something the drivers don't want to miss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Wayne Anderson, and I am sure that's going to be interesting. Bad things do happen to good people. It's a sad fact of life. Sometimes you just have to have an attorney to represent you or your family. I recommend attorney Timothy M. Grogan. Timothy Grogan is a Florida-based lawyer with offices in St. Petersburg, Venice, and Bradenton. Attorney Timothy Grogan's firm provides the skill and knowledge you deserve with legal representation in the areas of criminal defense, bankruptcy law, foreclosure protection, real estate law, and family law. www.timothygrogan.com for the office nearest you. Remember, bad things do happen to good people. When you need an attorney, I recommend Timothy Grogan. www.timothygrogan.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
The future of medicine is happening now. Utopia Wellness in Clearwater, Florida is a leading-edge medical center that offers integrative, holistic, patient-focused medical treatments. Utopia offers a full menu of wellness programs that complement each other by addressing all the issues related to well-being. Programs at Utopia Wellness are designed for anyone who wants to enjoy optimal health. Whether you're suffering from a chronic illness or simply wanting to prevent disease, Utopia has a personalized program that is right for you, including alternative cancer therapies, chronic degenerative illnesses, heart and vascular disease, immune system enhancement, detoxification and colon therapy, and medical weight loss. I invite you to call 727-799-9099 727-720-6060 or visit utopiaawaits.com. That number again is 727-799-9060. My name is Jack Smith, and I highly recommend Utopia Wellness. All right, we're back inside Florida Racing. Yeah, Cece, you were telling me that they shut you down in the middle sometimes?
Sometimes during the day when the engineers want to do work, they don't want to work at night, they just go. They don't even call to say, hey, Cece, going to take you off the air in 5 minutes. You'll be off the air for 10 minutes. They just take the station down. And all of a sudden, alarms start going off. And, of course, I start panicking, running around, trying to figure out what engineering thing I need to fix to get the station back on the air. And then you know, you find out when you call the engineer, tell them you have a problem. They go, oh, no, we took you down. Okay, thank you.
That sounds like
it's only a 100,000-watt station, you know.
Yeah. You got every country fan in South Florida going crazy on you.
Oh, yeah. The phones don't stop ringing.
Okay. So we got things straightened out here, and we got Wayne Anderson with us on the phone. Wayne, welcome to Inside Florida Racing again, man.
Hey, thank you.
All right, buddy. So you have been racing. The last time we talked about your series was back at the beginning of the year when we came up to your race shop with you and your dad and Mr. Bruins, and we talked about your series. And now it's been done, and you're getting ready for your final race of the season. Tell us what it's been like, man.
Well, I tell you what, it's been great. And the tracks that we've went to, for the majority, we've had a really good time. And, you know, I don't know if you realize it, Jack, but this is going to be our, I think, 9th or 10th race. And inside the 9 or 10 races, we've had 89 different race cars, different drivers come to run the Florida All-Star Series. So, I mean, that, you know, you can say the economy's bad and you have all kinds of excuses, but through that, somehow, 89 different people have come and run the series.
That's great, Wayne. That's a great turnout of drivers.
And I went through your race results the other day, and you're averaging what, around 30 cars or something close to that?
No, I think we've averaged 25. We
went
to Lake City and had our lowest car count of the year, and we had 18 start. And that was the lowest in the race before. We had 38 at New Smyrna and 36 took time. So it's been really good. It's been a big undertaking, no doubt. But you know, we're coming to our last race. We kind of want to get done before like New Smyrna has the Governor's Cup, or you know, there's a couple big races left and. So anyway, we're trying to end our season a little early and still get time for people to go run a few big races.
Now, Wayne, what can people expect if they haven't been out to one of your races yet? What can they expect Saturday night at DeSoto?
You know, hell, I don't know what to expect. that's just being honest with you. But no, we've had car count, and I think the biggest thing for fans is a lot of fans have been coming to the racetrack here lately, and there's not been many race cars. So you know, I think Braden had one of their races, one of their Hoosier Elite races, a month ago or so, and they had 17. So you know, we went there earlier in the year, I think in the May or whatever, and we had 24. So I'm just hoping that we can have a full field of cars and put on a decent 100-lap show for the fans down there in DeSoto. And that's kind of the bulk of it right there.
Yeah.
We're starting to slowly but surely get some big-name drivers that come in. I think Jeff Choquette come to New Smyrna. Brian Finney came to Lake City. Jeff Stilfield, he's won two or three of our races, and he was up at Lake City. And, you know, they're slowly starting to come, and it started out as far as it was going to be, it's a series that Wayne Anderson, he races in his own series, his son races in his own series. Well, you know, I'm not the only racetrack that has my son racing in their own little series. So, anyway, make a long story short, when I go to Tech, top five in Tech, get to look at my scale readings, my restrictors, and so I think they've found through the course of the year that it's been very fair, and we're hoping for a good season next year. We've got quite a few tracks on board, and some that we're glad we're not going to. So, we're really looking forward to a great 2011 and a great ending of 2010 this year at DeSoto.
Well, you know, one thing that I remember, and when Rick Angies and myself talked to you guys early in the year about this whole thing. And by the way, I think there's been somewhere around 4,000 to 5,000 people have downloaded that show over the course of the year and listened to you guys' interviews with about the series. And, you know, the thing that stands out to me is that you guys made the point that you had to do it because nobody else was going to. And it seems like it's been a worthwhile endeavor. I'm sure you've learned some things.
Oh, well, we've learned what tracks not to go back to, that's for sure. But we've also learned which tracks really have opened arms and invited us in and been treating us really good. And we're really looking forward to going back to New Smyrna next year. And also next year, we're going to go to Punta Gorda Charlotte County Speedway. We're Kevin Williams has just done an amazing job down there. I went down there, and I was fortunate enough to win one of his races that he's had, the first super late model race. And you just cannot believe the car count and how you can't even move in the pit and to see all the fans down there. I don't know if you've been there, Jack, or not, but really, I have seen some major improvements down there, and we're really looking forward to going down there next year.
That's very true, Wayne. I was there this Saturday night for the super late models, and it was packed. And Kevin is putting his heart and soul into that track, and just like you said, it's greatly improved for fans and drivers.
Well, I'll tell you, what people don't realize is Kevin Williams is a racer, too.
That's right.
You know, this series was designed by racers. And I look at what Kevin's doing down there, and he's a racer himself, and he really looks out for the racers. And that's so appreciative, because that's what we try to do with the Florida All-Stars, and that was the intent of trying to get this going, is to try to have something and bring some life back to some of these tracks where you've seen dwindling car count. And I believe that the other day we averaged up every series that was asphalt series in the country, and we were tied for second in for the whole country in car count. So it's been great. It's been one heck of a learning experience. But, you know, I just hope that the series, when it comes to the track that's near some of these fans, that they do come out and support it and see that it has been building. And I hope that it's just only going to get greater from here in a great 2001.
Yeah, are you looking to make I know it's maybe a little early to talk about this, but has there anything you've thought about for next year that might be different with the way the series is operated? I mean, other than, of course, certain tracks you won't go to, certain ones you will, but as far as the operation of the rules or anything like that nature, anything going to change?
We've done, Jack, what we have done was we went three races and we changed the rules a little bit, seeing what motor, when we first started this, we took crate cars, limited late models, the supers, 9-to-1, spec motors, and we tried to make it as equal as we could. And after three races, when we seen something down, we made a little change to bring something closer to being a level playing field. Then we went three more races before we made another change. So there's probably going to be a few changes through the off season, but the biggest thing that we as a series are looking forward to, we want to go to racetracks where we can race and where you can pass. And that's what I see us looking for in 2011. And, you know, there is some great facilities out there, and there's some great promoters that really want to have the All-Star Series come back, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that, you know, and you probably know more about it than I do, but from what I understand, there's at least two different parties that have a pretty serious interest in trying to get a deal done with Mike Cope to get Bronson back open for 2011, and that would be a good place too. That's a, you know, a lot of people think it's a one groove racetrack, and sometimes maybe it is, but boy, I sure it's a fun place for a fan to watch racing.
Well, you know, people don't realize you got to take your hat off to Mike Cope a little bit. You know, he really stuck his neck out there to try to get a racing series, and then he kind of lost a lot of support from some of the racers. And then we, as racers ourselves, we've seen tracks closing up, looking like they're going to close up. And you know, Bronson suffered a lot. And that's one of the, you know, I don't mean in a bad way, but up in that area, some of the poorer counties, and people are really having a hard time just making a living.
So sure.
It makes it hard on a racetrack to survive. But, you know, if if Mike Cope was able to get that going, I'm sure that the Florida All-Star Store would love to listen to him and sit down with him if he wanted to have one of our races. But, you know, we're happy with what we've done. We hope that we can build on it. And, you know, I don't know what to say. I think the races that we've had have spoke for themselves in the different winners that we've had. And I just hope that next year, you know, it just gets bigger and better.
Absolutely, man. I hope so, too. And I'll tell you, we're going to have you back on in a few weeks. We're preparing a two-hour shows celebrating USA International Speedway and all the cool things and cool races and all the cool people that put on shows there for race fans over the years. And when we get that deal together, we'll certainly be calling on you, because I know that's a place where you've certainly got some good memories.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I say, I know that you reach out to a lot of people out there, and you speak to a lot of fans. And I can only hope that, you know, a lot of them take their time this weekend and think about where they're going and come out and support DeSoto Speedway and the Florida All-Star Store.
Absolutely.
We sure need it, and it takes everybody to make it happen.
And you're
going to
crown your championship this weekend then, right?
Yep, I think so. I've had a great year myself. Wayne Anderson Racing has been really good. So, had a tremendous year. Like I say, from a series standpoint, we've had a great year, and we've learned where not to go and who we can deal with and promoters that we can deal with, and we're really excited about the ones that we do have a great relationship with, and looking forward to a great 2011.
All right, Wayne, look forward to it Saturday at DeSoto Super Speedway, it's the Florida All-Stars Tour. It's the late model series in Florida. Go out there and check it out. Wayne, thanks a lot for spending time with us here on Inside Florida Racing, man.
Thank you so much, buddy.
All right.
Bye, Wayne.
Man, there you have it.
Okay.
It's been a year, man. They started that series because there was it appeared that there was not going to be any late model series out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they took a little bit of heat for the fact they're going to race in it. But if they hadn't have done it, I don't think anybody else would have. And, you know, with Dick Anderson and Wayne Anderson, of course, they know all the drivers. And they've had, obviously, you looked at it, they have had a pretty good year. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, it'll be a great Saturday night, 100 laps. Great cars, great drivers at DeSoto, and if you're, you know, if that is your track, if that's the track close to you in that area, go out there Saturday night, I believe, at DeSoto. Racing starts at 7.
You know, and there's some, you know, on that issue of the whole concept of racing series, I mean, there are some ownerships, especially in the asphalt ranks, who have, you know, they don't particularly care for racing series, and some of their complaints are absolutely valid, there's no question about that, but when you look at the history of the last 10, 12 years of Florida racing, some of the very best racing in terms of drawing in the fans, drawing the cars, have come from traveling series that go from one track to the other. I mean,
well, Ken's series.
Absolutely. Well, that's in dirt, but it's the same.
In dirt, but it's the same thing. That had huge draws.
Absolutely. If you look at the best mini stock racing in Florida, it was the Florida Mini Stock Challenge Series, no question about it. The Southern Sportsman Series, there mm-hmm. was a time there where it was just, I mean, just the best, absolutely the very best sportsman racers in the state getting together, and they brought fans with them. And it's the Modified Series, and in the late models, of course, and the trucks. Some of the best racing in the state has been done by traveling series. Of course, they're not all created equal, and some promoters are better at it than others,
mm-hmm.
It needs to be a partnership between the tracks and the drivers, that's for sure. But there's some good things to be said for traveling touring series in the state of Florida.
Well, and I think it's a great thing for fans, Jack, because it really brings quality racing that they might not be able to see at their local track on a regular basis. You know, it brings something very exciting, very special to beef up the track's normal race classes.
I want to say hello to our buddy, Rex Hollinger. Rex, give me a call sometime.
Rex!
And best wishes to BJ Cabin. BJ, keep up the fight, brother. You can do it. And we're looking forward here on Real Racing USA to getting our dirt shows back going here pretty soon. Joe and Billy tell me that they're almost ready to get back to.
Are they ready to fill their pockets with dirt again?
Yeah,
they
are.
I know that's what they like.
And we have another one too. There's we got two dirt shows that are in the cooking on the back burner here that we're going to get started. And there's even a television show for next year that we are going to have a little bit of a hand in, and we're looking forward to that. So a lot of things going on. I think that's all we have next week. I want you to be sure and check us, James Knight. It's a story you don't want to miss. And, of course, Phil and Michelle Ellis. I should have known that. I have it written down correctly. Michelle Ellis.
I'm trying to go off the top of my head, and you have it written down in front of you.
And they'll be here with us in the studio.
They'll be here, and I might just come crash that show. Cool. Let's see here. Just want to shout out to some of our listeners, to Kyle, to Sheila, who is Dalton's mom. She's very proud and appreciates that we had him on the show tonight, Jack. So hi to them, and thank you for listening. And, of course, Linda and all the gang at Punta Speedway who are listening in tonight and who will download the show and listen to it over the next couple of days. Hi to everybody. And, Jack, it has been great back here in the studio with you.
It's wonderful to have you here, Cece. You know that. I love it. Now, the number is 941-219. Write this down. 941-219-3576. I'll do that one more time. 941-219-3576. You can call that number, leave us your message, and if it's cool enough, we'll be playing it on the air next week. You can leave any opinion you want. This is your chance to say your piece. And as long as you don't use any foul language, we promise you we'll play it. If it's cool now, you can't just... Yeah. It's got to be worthy of...
It has to be amazing. Yeah, amazingly cool.
Yeah, it should be cool. So.
It should be cool. That's what we're looking for. And, of course, we are always looking to get suggestions from you of guests that you'd like to hear. And, of course, remember, we want your nominations for the Driver of the Year for this year. Yes, we're getting started late. That's why we're going to really rely on you to submit drivers, and we want stats. We want you to argue your case of why they should win the ring, the Hildebrand ring, this year. Remember, you can always stay in touch with Inside Florida Racing at InsideFloridaRacing.com, Real Racing USA, and Karnak, the only three websites you need to stay on top of all the racing action. It has been my pleasure to be back on Inside Florida Racing with everybody tonight. Bonehead, I miss you. Wish you were here. Jack, I absolutely loved being back. Look forward to being back again. Have a great night, everybody.
I'm gonna jump until I fall. I've got to do the St. Pete Boogie. I'm gonna jump until I fall. Bar hopping and high topping. Hey Lord, can't you hear me call? does eight beat boogie. Don't be contemplating cry when you're doing the eight beat boogie. Don't be contemplating cry, 'cause you'll wind up in the can man and you'll end up doing time. Just be doing